This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. Is it Access All Areas? We are live on FUBAR Radio. And of course, I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Corlin.
And guys, what a banging show I've got for you this evening. We are joined by Molly from Dancing on Ice. And we've got Frederick from The Apprentice. So we're going to be getting all the tea, both from the ice and the ballroom. But first, El, just quickly, how are you? I'll keep it short.
I'm great. Oh, thanks so much for asking, Bobby, but I'm great. I'm liking this weather. It's warming up, isn't it?
Yeah, you dip your toe into spring.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to see.
I know, it's great. We might get the arms out, the old legs out in a few weeks.
We do like that D, don't we? That vitamin D.
We do need the vitamin D. All over us.
she's a one, guys. She's filth. I'm going to get the fairy up liquid. Now, guys, as you know, we always start the show with a little bit of showbiz gossip. Mm. And we have got the icon. We have got Miss Lottie in the house spilling all the showbiz tea. Lottie, how are you, darling?
I am great for seeing the two of you. How are you?
So good. It's been so long.
It's been too long.
Missed ya.
Juicy showbiz coming up for you, though, as always, guys. You know how it is.
Ooh, what's caught your eye, babes?
Well, we're starting off with a very, very, very exciting story. The biggest one of all. Mm. Bobby, over here, the legend that is, has been nominated for LGBT Celebrity of the Year, which is incredible. So congratulations.
Well done, Bobby.
Thank you.
You are a very good gay man.
You are.
You deserve the award.
Yeah. I do gay pretty well.
You do it well.
But in all seriousness, your videos at the moment on social media are 10 out of 10. Like, mm-hmm. They are so engaging. I think it's so incredible that you're doing this. And I hope you win, so everyone cast your vote. But what's happening with
bless it? Bless you. Thank you so much. I was a little bit shocked because I didn't know until I was kind of tagged in that I'd been nominated for this award. So I'm down to the final 10.
Wow.
But it's nominated for by the public. Mm-hmm. So thank you, everyone, to our listeners, to my followers, that have even put me forward for it. I don't know how many they whittle it down to, but there's still another 9 people I'm up against. But to get to the final 10, I'm happy with that.
That's
but I'm looking
so
forward to, I'm going to go to the old red carpet bash.
Nice.
And I've had a little look, because you know I love a little bit of mirrored furniture. I'm still very Essex. I'm not crushed velvet sofa anymore. That's 2010. We're over that.
Okay.
And I'm not a love, laugh, live kind of
not
person.
Good.
I do have a few Marilyns around.
That's
I won't
fine.
Lie.
That's fine.
We
okay.
love
we won't judge. Yeah. We won't judge.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. But they're classy Marilyns.
Good.
Okay. Class.
As long as it's not the one with her dress in the air.
No.
No, okay, we're good.
No, it's class. Like, you know me better than that. But I've got a lot of mirrored furniture, so I get through a lot of window lean, not an ad. But my OCD, I can't bear the dust or the finger marks, but a nice trophy, and I think it's chrome.
I was wondering where
mirrors.
That was going. I literally lost it.
I'm not going to lie, I've had a little look at the trophy. I don't know if it's overshooting my load too soon, so to speak. I shouldn't have used the word load there. What's the word that
no,
I'm thinking of?
Over
egging the pudding.
That's it.
Yeah, not overshooting the load.
Not loads again,
the mirrored furniture.
Yeah.
But anyway, it would look lovely. So. If you do want to vote for your boy, it'd be lovely. But if not, I'm going to have a nice night out of a load of...
With a load of... There we go again.
With a load of gay people and allies
really
and the LGBT community.
What are you going
to
wear?
Yeah, I want to know.
Oh, I'm going to get a lovely suit done.
Yeah?
Nice.
What colour?
I might do the Marilyn dress. No, I'm joking. I don't know colour yet.
Oh,
hopefully my hair will be
red.
A little bit long. I don't think there's long left of voting. So, and I don't know when the awards are.
You need to go flamboyant, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Lean into it. Like, it's going to be
lean
fun.
into the gay.
Yeah. It's going to be a load of fun. That is
but the British the British LGBT awards are always a big, huge deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, go and go vote for your boy if you want.
It's
BritishLGBTAwards.com.
Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Aww.
I'll bring the award in here if
do
I get
you.
It.
I'll shine it up for you.
Yeah.
The innuendos are flying.
So enough they about are. Me and my home furnishings. Like, what else has caught your eye, darling?
Well, the next big story that we've got showbiz-wise, Zara McDermott is dating Louis Tomlinson of One Direction fame.
Ooh.
So this has been the big story of the week, I would say, because, you know, there have been rumours that this romance has been brewing for quite some time. And you know how it is on social media, a lot of speculation. However, they have now been seen on a date together. They went to a fancy restaurant. He swooped her off to a hotel. They were having fish and chips, £100 fish and chips, apparently. I don't know where that's come from. Cocktails. And apparently the people that saw them said they looked so happy. They're really happy together. And it could be the next big showbiz romance, I think. Wow. I think it's got a lot of people talking. Obviously, she was with Sam Thompson of Made in Chelsea fame. They split after about 5 years together recently. Yeah.
And that was only in January.
It was only in January. I remember reporting on it actually, and it was on New Year's Day that we reported that. So
that's right, yeah.
It's been a couple of months. But I mean, I think Louis Tomlinson's quite a catch.
Like, oh, absolutely.
He's a good looking guy, isn't he?
Yeah. So, a lot of people saying she's got a, and this is just what I've seen on social media, but people going, she's got a very good knack for levelling up.
Well, I've seen this as well. Yeah, absolutely. Because who else has she dated?
Well, she started out on Love Island.
Adam Collard.
Yeah. Who is a soul.
Yeah. She's dated some hot guys, and that's for sure.
Yeah, she's always picked a soul.
And then
she levelled up. Was there someone else before Sam?
No, I don't know. There might have been, but obviously then we had that big Made in Chelsea drama, didn't we?
Then it was the X Factor producer, allegedly. I love it saying allegedly. I think it's confirmed.
I think it's definitely confirmed.
Always protecting our arse.
What's funny, though, is Louis, so some comments that he's made about Love Island have re-emerged, and he hates Love Island. He didn't have any time for it. And it was actually after Zara's series, he said something like, thank God that's over. So it's just quite funny that... But I don't think we look at Zara so much as a Love Islander anymore.
No. Like, I nearly forget.
She's one of the OGs, isn't she? So, and she's done so well off the back of it. So
what's your thoughts, apart from like the people, the levelling up comments, people going, oh, it's very soon because they only broke up in January. What's your thoughts, girlies? How soon is too soon? Do you think by March to be dating someone else and happily settled?
I don't think it's too soon. I think it's nice to kind of, depending on how the breakup is, if it's quite amicable, like I feel like it's nice to kind of move on, and like maybe that's what's helping her through it. Everyone has different ways of coping, don't they? And I think Sam's kind of gone the other way, where he's just said, like, I'm not going to date. I think comments have emerged that he said that, but I don't know, what do you think?
I don't know, I feel like it, I don't think it's too soon. I think it's a fine amount of time, but I just wonder, were they in contact around the time?
I think people will be thinking that, won't they? Like, I think that's naturally what people might be starting to think.
A little bit of a crossover.
Was there a small bit of a crossover? Because it just felt like they deaded their relationship so soon. Mm-hmm. Like, it was only a couple of weeks after he had professed his love and said, you're stuck with me for the rest of your life, on her birthday message.
Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it?
Like 2 weeks later, it was over. So I was like, there was 2 weeks before, they obviously had not spoken about broken up. So it was dead very quick.
This is why I don't trust social media.
It's a huge thing if it was amicable, but they're saying that there's people in Essex, they'll go out and shag someone else even if their fella's in their bed. Do you know what I mean? They don't have to be broken up. How soon's too soon when your fella's still at home washing up the tin for making you a steak and chips? I don't know. Let's move on from that, but best of luck to them if they are showbiz's next
big
couple.
Thing. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So we're moving on to, I don't know if either of you are White Lotus fans. I certainly am. I absolutely love it. The third series, though, is taking a little bit of time to get going, but this is a spoiler alert for anyone who is watching. Fans are now disgusted by an incest scene that has happened between two of the brothers.
What?
If you've seen it, it is... It's a really uncomfortable watch, I would say. It's like, it's been kind of going in that direction. You know,
could
how
you
they
feel
filmed
it coming?
It. Yeah, there were various glances by... So Patrick Schwarzenegger
He's quite fit, Patrick.
Really fit.
Handsome,
yeah.
He plays Saxon.
Yeah, and it's his little brother in it, who's Lachlan. And he's kind of like... Lachlan's been kind of like looking at him when he's been naked, that kind of thing, like the cheeky glances. You know it's been building up to this because it's White Lotus, and White Lotus is absolutely weird, isn't
it? Is it just pure filth?
It's just a weird... It's pure filth. It's very strange, and it gets quite strange quite quickly. So we had this big scene where they were going to the full moon party in Thailand. It's set in Thailand, this series. And then it's those two. It's Amy Lou Wood of Sex Education fame. Absolutely adore her. And then there's another amazing actress in it. And the four of them are having so much fun. And then the two brothers, again, spoiler, have a snog. And viewers are just saying this has gone way too far. Like, it's
That's
just
weird.
Taking it to a whole new level.
And are they off their bed on mushrooms or something?
Well, they must be, yeah. I would assume
got
that something's got to be going on.
Not that that's making it all up, but what's going on here?
Yeah, that is so weird.
It is beautiful, though.
It is. But it's one of those where apparently the younger brother, the actor that plays him, was like, let's just get on with it. Like, we're going to have to do this anyway. And Patrick was apparently like, I actually feel physically sick after having to do that. But it I've watched it and it was, yeah, it wasn't great.
Wait, they're not actual brothers in real life?
No.
Okay. Babe, you get nicked for that sort of thing. You'd be at the road, you'd be in the veil.
No,
the little actor wants to leave and someone take over next series, I don't mind pretending to be his bro. I'll take one for the team.
He's just done an ad with Skims. He's a good looking guy. He is. I think we're going to see a lot more of him. Because I haven't really seen him before and all of a sudden he's like,
oh gosh.
Yeah. Love a bit of Patrick.
Absolutely, we certainly do. I think time for one more, babes.
Right, well, we'll move on to another TV show because we actually have to talk about this, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, it's everywhere. It's Adolescence. It's on Netflix. I've not seen it. I'm devastated. I'm going to see it tomorrow, I think. I'm going to take some time to watch it. So everyone's talking about it, and it stars Stephen Graham, Ashley Walters. It's become a huge runaway success on Netflix. I think it's, like, dominating absolutely everything. But people are in tears because it's got a moving nature. It's about a father of a young boy who's accused of murder.
Oh,
and what I find amazing is there's like a single shot to take the whole, like it's done in one shot, which
it's
is
one
incredible.
Shot. There's no edits or retakes
nothing.
Or anything.
Oh, I love shit like
Isn't
that.
Isn't that amazing? It's amazing.
There's actually a few bits in it. I'm only on episode two, but there's a few bits that they mess up their lines or they forget to do something, but they keep it in and it looks more real.
Yeah.
So there's a bit where two police officers come into a classroom and the teacher only introduces the male police officer, forgets to introduce the female police officer, and as the male police officer is speaking to the class, she goes, oh my God, so sorry, excuse me, and then she introduces the female and then she's like, oh, don't worry about it. But they all handled it so naturally. Nobody broke character.
Oh,
and
I'm going
to
watch it.
Do they have to do it like that, do you reckon? Because it's like in one shot, so they can't like that's literally it.
Yeah.
So they practice and then
They practiced it for weeks each episode.
Yeah.
Then they done it 11 times. They've done a run through of each episode 11 times in one shot.
Yeah.
Why 11? The OCD me, I would have done 10 or 12. Why the odd number? That gives me anxiety, but we move.
Yeah. I'm not sure why 11, but maybe they just stopped when they knew they had it or whatever.
Yeah, I wish they stopped at 10.
Yeah. But it's so interesting.
Is it really good?
It's so interesting. And even just every now and again, you forget that it's one shot, but then you'll see the camera kind of swiftly move from one actor to another. And that's how you go from scene to scene, because they're on one actor but then they'll change to a different actor and follow him into a different part of the set. They also said that I've written a lot of articles.
I love this already.
It sounds amazing.
They also said that the crew couldn't get out of some of the scenes in time, so the camera crew, so they dressed them as like extras.
No way.
So if they're in school, they're dressed as teachers.
So if there's anyone acting really awkward on set, I'd be like, I'm going to keep an eye.
Yeah. The guy with the boom.
He's
dressed as a school teacher.
That is going to be my next watch.
Yeah,
I don't know 100%.
About you. So that's like number one on Netflix at the minute, is it?
Yeah,
it
Stephen Graham's a wonderful actor as well. Like, he's been in,
so
was he in
good.
Boiling Point, and they also did that in one shot. I watched that, and that was incredible. And he's just, he's so talented. So I can't wait. And actually, so Katie, who is the girl that is, again, spoilers, murdered in the show, she is in the end score, so the song that plays at the end, it's her voice, and no one really knows that, but she is in it, and I think that's the first time we actually hear her. So
and she's singing one of the tracks.
She's singing one of the tracks, because they found out the actress could sing and they were like, let's kind of capitalize on this. So
good.
I can't wait. I'll let you know what I think.
I've got to come home and watch it.
Binge it.
Yeah. I watched one episode and took a break and then went back and watched another because it was just
Take a break.
That's
emotionally
a lot.
Distressed.
Yes, it's just a lot. It's very heavy and it's very tense the way they film it.
Heavy in terms of what, like the murder stuff?
No, just in terms of the emotional with the like the first episode is just all about the little boy. He's only 13 he's been arrested, and it's just about him and his family and him confused about.
So
like,
you switch
happening.
Over to White Lotus for the incest relief, and then go back.
I had to get a bit of light relief.
Lottie, thank you so much.
Thank you,
we
guys.
We're not laughing about it. It's illegal and don't do it. It's wrong. Lottie, we love you so much, babe.
Oh,
come back
so
soon.
Much. I will indeed. Thank
we're
you.
We're going to take a little break, guys, and then we are going to be joined by Molly, and we're going to be speaking all things Dancing on Ice, so we will see you in two.
Fubar Radio. Pulse of the Nation. You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we
things.
Should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He's the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys. I'm Bobby Norris and we are joined by Molly. Molly, how are you? Firstly, congratulations on winning Dancing on Ice.
Amazing.
Thank you.
How was it for you? Is it sunk in?
No, it's generally not sunk in yet. I don't think for me also. And especially like the show finishes the next day and we just don't go back. So it was really, it's a big whirlwind.
That must feel so weird when you're training constantly and you always have to get up early and go to training and then do the shows and then to absolutely nothing. So what have you done since you finished the show?
I did have an appointment down south during the show. So the day after the show, I packed it all up. I came back up north because I am from Doncaster. So I came back up. I had a week off, just gave myself a rest period for my body. And then I've just started going back to the gym, training, going to events.
Oh, amazing.
Because that's the thing as well. And like you say, you mentioned give your body a rest. It's one of them celebrity shows. You know, obviously, like we've got Jungle, Big Brother, so-and-so. But it is very, very physical. And yes. For you guys, like it's no joke. Like, not only is it dangerous, it's very demanding on the... I mean, not that I've skated for 50-odd years like, and only with a penguin, but I assume that it's very, very dangerous and very physical.
Yeah, especially for some of the celebs who've never been an athlete. So when you have been an athlete, you know how to train the body. You know what it's like having sore muscles and using new muscles. Mm. Whereas like some of them who've never done sports competitively before, it's a real shock to their system. So especially in the pre-Christmas training, their bodies are all so sore and it's just like having to train them that rest is part of training. So like with Sam, I'm like, make sure you go home, stretch, have a roll on your muscles, have a bath. Like it's a huge part of training that a lot of people forget about.
I mean, yeah. Because you've obviously trained a lot of celebrities for the show.
This is my first one.
But away from actually doing the show, training people, not celebrities as such, but yeah. when you get paired with someone, can you generally tell if someone's going to be, I don't know if this is a really stupid question, can you tell if someone's going to be a good skater? Like, if I rocked up and you saw me, would you go, fucking hell, he's going to be good?
I mean, they have to see on the ice first.
Oh, so you can't just tell by the way I hold myself or do my hair. You do have to see us put the skates on. How many minutes do you need?
If you hold yourself well and you have a good hairstyle, I'm going to appreciate that.
Exactly. And you're going to go, well, I want that, lad. How many minutes, roughly, is it one of them, like, if you saw someone in a gym, after a few minutes, you go, well, I kind of can see that they've got basic. I just think it's very hard because there's basic skills and then there's doing headbangers. Basic ain't going to cut it.
So I think from the start, within the first 10 minutes with Sam, I knew he was very naturally talented. Mm. He had a natural knee bend. He had a good flow. He could hold a glide. So from the start, I was like, okay, all right, I've got a good one here. But that doesn't take away from people who work hard. Like, I and a few of the other pros on the cast, we all say Anton Ferdinand was the most improved throughout the entire process. When we saw him skate in December, not that he was bad, but like the improvement he made from the hard work he put in. So like, yes, you can tell with people, but again, if you put a lot of hard work in and like really push yourself, then you can be in the final of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the most rewarding part of coaching for you?
For me, honestly, it was finishing the routines and just seeing Sam so happy and proud of himself. Like, I just, every week, my goal was for him to be happy with himself and just proud when he steps off that ice. And, like, he'd always finish and we'd give each other, like, this eye connection and, like, I'd just be clapping. And then he'd always look straight to his wife and kids and it was the cutest thing ever. And I was just so happy to, like, be part of it and help bring that joy to, like, the whole family's, like, week.
That's so nice. And did you watch the shows back then, like, as kind of a way to see how well you did or things that you can improve on?
Yeah, I did live with Vanessa James, one of the other pros on the show. She was paired with Dan Edgar. Me and Vanessa, after every show, would go back to our apartment. We'd have some little snacks, maybe we'd have a glass of wine, and we'd usually rewatch the show back. We'd watch our numbers and our pro numbers. And then we'd be like, okay, how can we do this better? Where can we make improvements? So then the next time you go, you know exactly like what improvements to make.
What makes an ideal partner? Like, someone that takes instructions. So say you girls, you go home, you crack open the wine, you might get the Maltesers out. You sit there watching the guys, and you watch your footage back. Do you want somewhere that you can go to work the next day, you get them on ice and go, right, I want you to do this, this and this? Like, do they have to take instruction? Does that make a good partner? Well, I'm guessing it probably does because you are the expert.
Yeah, they need to take in instruction well. And with Sam, he was very much a visual learner. So we would record a lot of things and then I would send it to him and I'd send a voice note with it. So he could watch it on, like, his phone and then listen to my voice note at the same time. And I'd be like, okay, here, we need to do this, this, this. I need you to remember this, this, this. And he was really good at watching it back. Then the next day, as we was warming up, getting ready to go on, I'd be like, okay, what are our focuses? Like, what are we going to put a lot of effort into? And it was usually all the things that I mentioned. Get on the ice, and he would do it for me. So I was like,
amazing.
Thank you, Sam. Good job, you.
And there was a lot of criticism online with how the judges' scores were so inconsistent. Do you feel that the judges were fair?
I do think they're fair. I think they all, like, judge from different perspectives. So, like, OT and Ashley is more from, like, a performance perspective, whereas Jane and Chris really look at the skating skills. So that's why for Sam, he would usually have his high scores from Jane and Chris because he had such good skating skills. But towards the end, because we upped his performance, I feel like everyone worked on everything. So by the end, we was a pretty balanced, like, scoreboard.
Yeah, fair enough.
How does it work in terms of music? Do you and your celeb have... Can you call up Christopher and Joe? I'm guessing it's probably a production thing. But can you call out and go, look, we want Britney Spears, Toxic? Or do they say to you, you're getting this, and there's like no request, this ain't the DJ, darling?
You know, if you could make a request, we would have been doing Beyonce every week.
Amen.
That is my thing. No, production, usually they send the music to me 2 weeks before, so I have an idea of what we're doing. I can start coming up with ideas. But Sam did get to choose week four. It was personal week, so he did choose like a personal song that was really nostalgic for him. But we'd had no idea for our Pink Panther routine what we was going to be skating to. And when we got on the ice and they told us, I was so happy because I'm a pink girl and I've always wanted to do that. So they picked it perfectly for me, in my opinion.
When it was week four and Sam picked, was you thinking, pick fucking Beyonce, pick Beyonce?
We had the conversation, we did. No, he told me the song and I was like, don't think I know that one, babe. And like, usually I sing while we skate, and as we're walking it off ice, I'm singing it to him. And this one, I just had to hum the tune. I was like, I'm going to need you to sing because I do not know the song.
Was there any song that you were like, absolutely not, we're not doing that?
No, I was buzzing for all of them, especially Salt and Pepper. I was really buzzing for that one. I think everyone was like, oh, how are you going to do that? We was like, yeah, let's go for it.
So if you get 2 weeks heads up by the song you're going to get, like your track, as a choreographer and a professional skater, are you working around lyrics and beats? This is probably the most basic question ever, but I'm fascinated by the answer. Are you working around like the lyrics and the tune of it, or taking your celeb into it as a performance? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it very like cookie cutter?
It kind of depends. When it's more story orientated, like the Pink Panther, that's more of a story we create. Whereas when it's other music, like our Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga one we did, that one, like, I take the beats and then the highlights and the nuances in the music. So it's like, okay, there's a big bit here. We're going to do a big trick. Let's skate nicely to this beat and this tune, get to the big bit and do a nice highlight, and then keep it going.
Yeah. I think that's what's hard about Dancing on Ice, because, I mean, obviously I've not done it, but Strictly is obviously dancing. I'm not taking away from that, but this is like dancing on knives on ice.
Yeah.
So you've got to dance, risk kind of losing a finger, a hand, or worse.
Yeah.
And holding people up. I think you've got so many things going through your mind that every performance must feel like it's 4 hours long.
Yeah.
I bet you just sigh the biggest bit of relief at the end. You're like, God, we're still alive.
I think that's how all the celebs feel, not going to lie.
Yeah.
And it's funny, they have a group chat, and Sam showed me it one time. And it was the celebs like, oh, think about your legs, think about your knee, hips under, shoulders back, head up, keep your eyes up, don't drop the eyes, have the hands up, point your toe, bend your... And we're like, oh, that is a lot we're giving you to think about, you're right.
Oh my God, that is a lot. I would be lost, there's no way.
It would scare me.
Taking you back to the final, tell me about that, because that must have been such an amazing time to experience that. But also people online were saying that Sam didn't even get enough time to speak. What do you think? It was kind of rushed, or were you happy with how it went?
One of my good friends, Olivia Smart, she won the show a few years ago, and she sent me a really nice message like a day before. She's like, Molly, be in the moment, take every single thing in. So from the day I got there, like first thing in the morning, I was really trying to absorb everything. I kept saying the same to Sam, like, let's take it all in. And especially once we met, Sam and I, we've had this joke, ongoing joke since we met, we've got a bolero to do. So as soon as we're in traffic or anything, whoa, we have a bolero to do. So that was like our mini manifestation. And it was just a joke the whole time. And right before we went out to skate the bolero, I looked at him and I was like, Sam, and I was holding his hand and I was like, we have a bolero to do.
Oh.
We start to cry. I need you right now. So then throughout the routine, it was the first one that was slow for us. And we had a few moments where we looked at each other in the eyes, and it was just so in the moment, as if nobody else was in the room. And when it finished, it was just my most present skate that I've ever done in my entire career.
Wow.
And like, we was just so in the moment together that it didn't feel rushed. And I think Sam was too shocked to speak, not gonna lie. My favorite picture of him throughout the whole thing is shocked when like we're announced as the winners.
Oh wow.
Have you got anyone, I mean, I know we're probably jumping the gun a little bit, and you literally just had your week off and chilling out, but have you got your eyes on any celebs for next year? Who would be your ideal if I said to you, like, you can pick 3 celebs to have as a partner next year? Who would they be?
I mean, I like people upbeat and comfortable to push out of comfort zones.
Mm-hmm.
do fun story pieces. I mean, my first pick would genuinely never happen, but it would have to be RuPaul.
Oh, I mean, you've got to put it out there. You never know.
You know, Ruth, you want me, I can take you through it. I don't know. I just like a surprise.
Beyonce.
Beyonce, the queen. Yeah, Beyonce and RuPaul. The third one, Mystery Man. Who knows?
Bobby Norris. I can see it now.
There you go. Let's go.
I can see you in spandex.
Oh, well, I mean, the spandex, that would be the lovely bit, and the fake bay cover spray tans are available.
But... No, Sam didn't have one spray tan throughout the whole thing.
Really?
And I'm there every week. Another layer, please. Another layer.
Oh, babe, I'd be the ideal partner. If you'd be like, spray us, another.
Let's go.
Am I right in saying this? And again, this is someone that's not a professional skater. I'm a shit skater. I'm just not a skater. But I've always said, like, for years, when people have said to me, like, Bob, would you do Strictly? Would you do Dancing on Ice? Especially years ago, before we'd seen like same-sex couples being allowed, I don't say this in any like derogatory way, but I kind of always saw it that I thought the girl celebs had it a little bit easier. And again, tell me if I'm wrong, because I was like, I think there's more pressure, especially Dancing on Ice, because I was like, I would feel horrendous if I had to lift up a girl every Sunday night and I dropped you, for instance, and you had all claret in your lovely pink hair and St. John's ambulance are coming on and they're stitching up your face. I would feel horrendous, whereas I think a girl just gets picked, not saying just, but gets picked up, point a toe, like, you know what I mean, pout.
Though to be picked up, like, I have a lot of respect. Like, Chelsea Healy in the first episode was doing this really hard lift. I've never done it before, and I said that to her. She was like, oh, but I'm just getting picked up. And I was like, no, you're like really pushing, that's difficult what you're doing. And like the ability to be able to lift yourself onto a guy and hold it and get back down, like that's the hardest part of lifts, is getting down smoothly onto the ice. And everyone forgets about it. It's like, oh, he picked her up and it's easy. And then the girl also has to learn how to match the guy and keep up with the man, because the man's usually more powerful. So the girls and guys just have two different things that they have to learn on the ice. Mm-hmm. And because people see lifts there, I was like, oh, it's harder. But I lifted Sam, so.
This is true. This is true. So do you think there is no truth in it being easy? Because I always used to joke, and it was like that. Everyone was like, Bobby, you'd never be allowed to dance with a man. I was like, if I could be paired with a man and he picks me up and I just point a toe and show my veneers, fake baked veneers, tits and teeth, just pick me up. And I thought, well, that would be easier.
That would be terrifying, though, because you'd be worried about being dropped as well. You have so much trust in that person.
True, and if I'm 6'2", he's got to be a big lad, so I'm even further from the ice. I'm up there with God, basically. Yeah. That's a long way to
touching
fall.
Touching clouds.
Maybe me and you, and I'll pick you up.
Would you trust him? She's like, oh, no.
No,
oh,
she's no. Like, I resign. Is it impossible to ever tell, obviously, because it's down to public vote, at what point do you think you can tell, and obviously not just winning it because you've got the luxury of that, but every week, like, obviously, you get your points and that. Do you get like a, I'm a little bit of a witchy poo, and when I say that, I mean like I get a sixth sense. I feel things in my gut, and when I feel it, I'm very rarely wrong. Do you know what I mean? And people think I'm a nutter saying that. I'm a witch. Do you get that? Do you go right, Sam, we're fine this week, or do you think, shit, we might... Well, I mean, obviously, you never got kicked out.
I did. On our week four, when we had a little stumble, there was no save me skate, but I was like, Sam, I'm not going to lie, I did take my phone and I voted for us that week, because I was a bit like,
no, bless you.
Like, I'm a bit nervous. We had a back four, we're low down the leaderboard. And then once the save me skate started, no one was safe. As soon as we all get backstage, everyone's practicing. And I would always give Sam like a pep talk. We might have to do this again. Let's get back into that performance headspace. Like, stay back in that zone. Because usually when there's no save me skate, you go out for elimination and that's it. So I had to keep him very like, let's stay focused. Let's keep on. Let's be ready. And then when they call your name, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yes, he's very true.
So true.
So are you signing up for next year?
Yes, if it comes back. We're still waiting to see if it's commissioned. But if it comes back, I would love to do it again. It was literally my dream job.
Have they said when you'll find out if it gets commissioned? I can't imagine ITV axing it.
I don't know. I think probably within the next like month or two, because they have to like book the venue and they've got to book the slot on TV. Yeah. So hopefully I'll be back soon. Usually by like July, we have an idea if we're on the show or not. So before then, hopefully.
Well, we hope to see you back there.
I expect my phone to be ringing. Thank you so much, darling. Best of luck with everything. Take care. Guys, we're going to take a little break and then we're going to be joined by Frederick. We're going to be speaking all things Apprentice. We'll see you in two.
FUPAR Radio.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Mr. Later Williams, hello. Mate, can we just address that you did Strictly Come Dancing?
I know, people were quite upset about that, to be fair. But listen, not the first musical theatre performer to be on Strictly. Won't be the last. I've never watched a full season from the start to the end. So when it actually got to it, I was like, whoa, like there's so many different styles. I was like, oh, and Nikita, I love him, but he was really pushing me to be the best that I could be.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't. Think.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
And I know conversion therapy doesn't work because one of the most popular conversion therapy camps in America, I watched a documentary, it is a 2-week-long programme. They all share a room for the week. Now, look, I don't want to insinuate too much, but my one hope is that if they do get caught, they adopt a parenting tactic of making them smoke the whole packet. No. Oh, you like sucking cock, do you? Well, you're not leaving this room until all of these cocks have been sucked.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying
we
should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be, prices are going up, we need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built.
I like the gradient on that.
How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside.
Like the colouring.
It's bullshit of the highest order.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Guys, so we're going to be speaking all things Apprentice. L, yes. Are you excited, Mr. Frederick?
Yes, I know. He seems like he's done really well this year. Have you been watching it?
Yes, I've seen bits and bobs. I think we've had a really good series in terms of us. We've had them all.
We've had them all. I know. All we're short is Lord Sugar.
Yes.
So we need to get
Sugar,
him on.
Sugar, get in.
Let us know.
And then we'll go for a sheesh after.
Yeah, take him to the Sugar Hut. Is it named after him?
Sugar ain't a thing anymore.
Is it not? Is it gone?
No, we'll take him sheesh though.
Sheesh is all right. We'll go there.
All right.
He'll be okay with that.
We've got to go sheesh. Anyway, yeah, enough about us eating the best Turkish in London and Essex. Not an ad, but should be. Get in touch, Dil. We're going to be speaking with Frederick and talking all things Apprentice. So, but before then, because I think he's had a little bit of a nightmare on the train, so we're going to be doing a Zoom with him.
Yeah.
Let's do a little bit of showbiz, Dil.
Let's do
what
it.
Else has caught your eye?
Do you know, have you been watching Maths Australia? If you have not, please get on it. It's on E4 and there's like about 6 episodes out at the moment, but it's the most dramatic maths I've ever seen.
God, and that's, and everyone always says Australia's better than England. No shade to England, but this one, this is the most dramatic. Fucking hell.
Yeah, it is. It's probably one of the best ones. I'm just absolutely glued to it. So basically, Maths Australia viewers are convinced that Jackie and Ryan are actors and that Jackie's home is also fake. And actually, I get that because I said this weeks ago to my partner, because they're very out there as a couple, and they don't seem to be getting along, but they're at writing stay every day. So it's like, you guys just want to be on TV?
Oh, watch this space. I'll watch be tuning into A4. But enough about Married at First Sight show. Okay, let's get back to talking all things Apprentice. Frederick, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
Really good, thank you. Sorry you've had a little bit of a nightmare trying to get into the studio. What's gone down? What's happened?
You know how Euston Station is, man. I think there was some trespassing on the tracks and then the train was 45 minutes delayed, so...
We won't hold it against you. At least you made it on Zoom. Thank you so much.
Exactly. You're more than welcome. Next time I'll come in studio.
Yes, you'll have to, for sure. So tell me, how was the Apprentice experience?
The one word I'll use to describe it is crazy. Absolutely mental. But overall, I really enjoyed it. I was up for the challenge and I enjoyed my time on the show.
Do you think your business background and your background in law helped you while you were on the show?
Yeah, I definitely think I do. I do quite a lot of public speaking and that's my thing. You know, I help people get better at speaking. So when it came to the pitches, when it came to negotiations, I always put myself forward. And I think my pitch on episode 7 is being called one of the best ones in The Apprentice ever. So that's pretty cool.
What was the most surprising thing that you learned about yourself during the process?
It's a great question. And the thing is, as an entrepreneur, I usually only work with people that I've hired or people that I really, really like. But obviously, I had to just work with everyone. And that was a real challenge, but I managed to do it pretty well, I think.
And you were eliminated as this, on the same week as Keir. Both of you were seen as somewhat competitive. Do you think The Apprentice rewards loud personalities?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think you've got to be... I didn't really play it very strategically. I just went gung-ho from the beginning, but that's kind of the person that I am. Mm-hmm. Whereas I reflect on the people that are there a bit longer than me, and maybe they did kind of pick and choose certain tasks to take a little bit of a backseat and then come back. So, yeah, maybe having a bit more of a strategic game plan would have been a bit better.
Yeah. Would you have done anything differently, like besides a game plan? Would you, if looking back at your time there, is there anything that you regret or something that you wish that you did or didn't do?
To be fair, nah, because I just gave it my all. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can do in life, isn't it? Just do your best. And so I come from an athletics background. I used to run. And you know, 8 of us line up, but only one of us can win. And you can give it your best, run a personal best, but still not win. And I kind of just had that approach where, I didn't win, but I gave it my all, and that's all you can do.
How have you found the social media side of things? Because it can be quite a crazy old Wild West social media.
Mad, I'll be honest. Because I'd say it's been like 80% good. But then you're just not used to getting that many like trolls or whatever on your account. But I think what's really worked well for me is that I'm just really happy in real life. So the trolls don't really bother me too much. But it definitely has been like a different dynamic to just everyday life.
What's the one thing that you notice like in common that trolls say? I mean, mine's always sexuality, like, which I always find the strangest thing to troll, because you can troll me forever, like I'm never going to wake up with a wife, do you know what I mean? It's just the strangest fucking thing. But what was your most trolled thing that you found?
Yeah, I guess people just saying like that I was no good in the process, to be fair, which I guess I did expect, because it is The Apprentice, right? And people just watch it and it looks easy on telly, but it's such a difficult process in real life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people just saying, oh, you were useless in that episode. Why did you do that? And, that's the main thing that I found.
I've seen people saying that you should have stood up for yourself a bit more. Like, you have a good business head, but maybe you just needed to be a bit, like, stronger and stand your ground a bit more. Do you think that's the case?
do you know what? I'm a nice guy, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. But then at the same time, there was one time that I really did stand up for myself, and then people said I was a bully. So I was like, you can't win.
You can't win. You can't win. And do you feel the apprentice is like a true, fair test on business acumen, or is it actually just a TV show now? Because I know originally it started as a business show and it really did feel like that, but as the series has gone on, it does feel a bit more like a, you know, reality TV show now.
I would say it's a bit of both, to be perfectly honest. I think business acumen does come into it, especially getting onto the show, because so many people apply and the process is grueling, so they do test your business acumen going on there. While you're on there, it is part of the entertainment. And I knew that, which is why my approach was just to just give it my all and just be myself, be entertaining, and whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. Because I just thought, am I going to win or just I need to entertain, right? So I think it's a little bit of both, to be perfectly honest.
See, every year we have people from The Apprentice on, and I feel like we've had a lot of you guys this series, but every series we always do because we're such huge fans of the show. And it's something I've never really thought of, and I'm not going to say who said this, but someone in particular turned around and said to me, bearing in mind that the show's now like 20 years old, they're like, it's actually in your interest not to win the show, because back in the day, $250,000 for 50% of your business was quite a good deal 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, 250 bags for 50%, especially with social media now, knowing what you can earn through social and a few brand deals and collabs, people are a bit like, you know, we'll take the promo, thank you.
Yeah.
But you ain't having 50% of the business. What's your thoughts on that? Because I kind of thought, you know what, you're fucking bang on, actually. Mm.
You know what? I hear that fully. So for me, to be honest, winning The Apprentice would have been fantastic, but it was a secondary thing. I actually also went on there as a... So I'm a motivational speaker, right? And I moved to the UK when I was 11, family of four living out of one bedroom. And I just thought, you know, imagine if like this kid who spoke no English when he was 11 made it on The Apprentice. Like, how many people would he inspire? And that was actually the main thing. So I applied for season 18, narrowly missed out, and then applied again season 19 and made it.
Wow.
So I was like, you know what, just going on and just saying, even just to say, look, I failed the first time, then I applied again and I got on the second time. I just wanted to do it to inspire as many people as possible. And I thought, if I win, even better. But I'd say that for me was the secondary reason. I mainly went on The Apprentice to just inspire as many people as possible.
I mean, you're the motivational speaker here, but do you think, because I'm always a big believer in sometimes it's not necessarily a bad thing to fail at something first time, because like you say, it spurred you on to go back and succeed. Sometimes I don't know if it's stubbornness, bitterness, but sometimes if you tell me I can't do something, I'm doing it. You know, out of spite, I'm doing it. If you tell me I can't, I'm like, watch me.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes there's no harm in getting a no sometimes in life, because life is, there are going to be no's in life, whether it's your ideal partner, job, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'd love David Beckham to be knocking at the door, mate. That ain't going to happen. I'm not going to take Vicky's man, but you've got to get a no sometimes. Jamie Redknapp, no. I'd like it to be a yes. But do you think sometimes a no's a good thing?
I totally agree with that, honestly, because we learn more from our failures than we do from our wins.
Yes.
You know? But you just got to have that perspective of, all right, didn't make it on The Apprentice. What's the feedback they gave me? All right, cool. Well, next year I'm going to try and improve on these things. And that's the main thing in life, that every no, you're one step closer to a yes if you learn from the mistakes that you made.
Absolutely.
Nice. I like that sentiment. Do you know, heading back to The Apprentice, did you feel like any of the drama that was on the show was kind of manipulated by producers? Because some past contestants said that it was kind of made to look more dramatic in the edit, or like situations were kind of made up or planted during the filming process.
So I don't know if made up or planted is true, but the thing is that a lot had, so 4 days of filming is done for each episode. So, you know, you and I could have had 3 days of smiling at each other and then maybe 20 minutes of a little bicker, but then that's what's going to make the edit. you know what I mean? So then it would just look like we argued the whole time, whereas really truly we weren't really arguing. So I think that's more so what happened, that in that kind of environment, everyone's an entrepreneur, everyone's hard-headed. We all at some point are going to clash.
Yeah.
But just know that that's going to make the edit.
Yeah, and it does, when it's condensed down like to something so small in the half an hour episodes, it does look so bad, doesn't it, when on screen.
And also, I guess there's that thing where something's pre-recorded as in advance as The Apprentice, where they already know the foregone conclusion at the end. There has to be a storytelling process as a TP producer. You have to have a beginning, a middle and an end. So although you'd probably love to show so much more, if you already know what the conclusion is, you could go round the houses forever and a day. But if you ain't getting there quick and you've got half hour to get there, there's got to be some casualties.
Yeah.
It's facts, though. And I think that's why I'm so grateful that on X7, even though I got fired, they showed my pitch and they showed it being really good.
Yeah.
It's quite rare that someone that gets fired gets a nice moment. So that was really big for me. And the fact that Lord Sugar's even tweeted about it since, so you can see why he's a motivational speaker. I just thought, that's class.
That's so good. So, yeah, I suppose your motivational speaking helped you in that instance, did it? You were able to bring those skills into the process.
Absolutely. And I was keen to do that. At least, you know, I don't know how to DC tomatoes. I don't know how to run tours in Turkey, but I know how to speak. So let me do that at least.
So what's next for you then? Do you just continue on as normal, or is there more on the horizon after The Apprentice?
So I really want to continue what I'm doing. So I'm literally going into organisations and helping their teams with public speaking. Because one of their biggest fears, right? People are really good technically. They might be the best accountant in their firm. When it's time to present the information to the senior stakeholders, they struggle. And that's when I come into it. I'll give them that confidence. So I just want to keep doing that. And then if any presenting opportunities come here and there, I'd love to snap them up as well.
Amazing.
Do you think, obviously being a motivational speaker and still being at the other end of trolling and stuff, when you see how social media can be so negative, does that kind of spur you on as well? Like we was talking about getting no's like the first time round. Does that overly bother you? Because I know some people, I mean, you have got to have a thick skin. It's never going to be lovely. But some people, it does affect more than others. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. For me, it really doesn't affect me that much. The example that I can give is that, you know, people calling me useless, like people calling me Japanese or Brazilian, like, it's just untrue.
Yeah.
So I do find it a little bit humorous. Like, it's funny that you think that. But I know not everyone is like that.
Cool.
So, yeah, for me, it's really important that the work that I do to just inspire people and just motivate them, that even if they are getting trolled, et cetera, they just need to be happy in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that kind of cancels out that feeling of sadness if you're getting trolled.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the energy that people put. Energy, to me, is everything. Like, positive, negative. Do not give things the steam off your piss that you don't want to. Do you know what I mean? Like, negative emotion, to carry it around is like a sack of shit. It's the worst thing to do. So for me to... There's people on TV I don't like. There's people I can't stand. But I wouldn't pick up my phone. I certainly wouldn't follow them. Go on their page, follow them, which I find bizarre.
It's called a hate follow, isn't it?
It's a hate follow. Yeah. And then abuse them. Because to me, to even think that negative emotion, why am I putting that into me, to then send that out into the unit, I just think no good's ever going to come of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just bizarre. But sometimes I do have to laugh because it's so bizarre and so creative. Like, it can be like, I almost think, do you know what, hats off, because you're kind of fucking funny, because it's so left field that I'm going to give you your flowers for being creative. But JK Rowling ain't shitting herself. You ain't going to be writing novels. But fair play while she sat in your dungeon firing off your abuse.
Honestly, sometimes one of my favourite replies to these trolls is, I hope this message makes you happy, with a love of heart emoji.
I like that.
Killing with kindness.
Yeah, killing with kindness. Sometimes they come back to that and they're like, oh, you know what? Sorry, I was being a bit of an asshole. And I'm like, it's all right.
Wow. See, a lot of the time, they don't think you're actually going to see it. They think they're just firing off their feelings. Yeah. And when you reply, they probably are like, shit.
Oh, they get semi. If you reply, they get a throb on. But for me, I genuinely believe that no one is happy would do that. Hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
If you're having, and you ain't got to be like the best, you ain't got to have the best motor, the best house, but just be content in life. Content people don't hurt people. You don't have to get a kick out of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind I send them love and light because I think you need healing, love and light to you.
100%.
Absolutely. I think that's the best approach. And then to the other candidates, and if anyone else going through, I just say, look, just surround yourself with people that you love. Just be happy in real life. And just know that social media isn't real. It's just a highlight reel where we show what we're doing in life. But that's like 5% of what your whole life is.
Absolutely. So you got it. So right. Thank you so much. Sorry that you had a nightmare with the trains again. But hopefully we'll see you in person soon. But best of luck getting home.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye, mate.
Bye.
Elle, good show.
Great show.
Nice to see you. Hopefully be a heatwave next week. Who knows? Have a good one. Take care, guys. See you next Wednesday, 6 p.m. Tune in Access All Areas. Ciao, Elle.